Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Glad you're all aboard with us tonight. We apologize for starting a few minutes late, but good things are worth waiting for. I also want to thank all the audience out there for making this probably the number one show of all radio shows of all time at this point. So we're having a lot of fun here. Tonight's guest is going to be, and by the way, tonight's show date is September 9th, 2006. And tonight we're going to have on the amazing Andromedan man, Steve Barish. And we're going to, those of you down in Florida, we're going to do a little bit of a repeat on Steve's background so you can know who he is. And hello, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am, Fred.
So what's going on back there in Pennsylvania?
Well, Pennsylvania's not doing too bad, but I'm in Rochester, New York.
Oh, okay. Well, you moved. That's right. I forgot
you time travel
back and forth.
Yes, doing a lot of good things, Fred, with the Andromedans and the holographic projectors. There's a tremendous amount going on.
Let's give the people down in Florida. I don't know if we had the Florida audience when you were on last time or
okay.
not. Do you remember?
Yes.
We did?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Well, let's just have a little bit of background about what you do. You don't have to go into your car racing days, but go ahead and go back into the what you and your wife do back there for a living. You know.
Yes, we are massage therapists, and we do a tremendous amount of energy work on our clients. I've got four holographic projectors in my room. I have a holographic projector that I've been wearing for the last year, and things have really been popping. I remember when I bought the projectors from you, and
why did you buy those anyway? What motivated you to buy them?
I think it's about 9 months ago, Fred.
Remember?
I think it was about 9 months ago.
Yeah, they weren't cheap, were they, when you bought them?
No, I think I paid $2,000 a piece for them.
Yeah, and why would somebody like you spend that much money on something you know nothing about?
Fred, I have trusted in you since the first time I met you in Toronto, and that was about 8.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I had bought, my wife and I had bought a nuclear receptor, a silver nuclear receptor. And we saw you at the show and the remarkable things that you were able to do at the show by taking glue. And it was unbelievable.
You know, like I was drinking it or what?
They were on the stage. There were about 300 or 400 people in Toronto at the health fair. And I stopped in with my wife and I said, this guy's going to be great because, you know, we had seen your receptors. And so what had happened was you had invited, Fred, one at a time, but I think there were about 10 people up there at all times, you know, the whole time that you were there.
Right.
And you used the glue, and people were sniffing it, and you took your necklace, that gorgeous necklace of yours, and you put it on their necks. And I guess, I presume what happened was it gave them a positive charge. I remember you doing kinesiology, and the kinesiology, what happened was their hand went up and you put on the glue.
Right.
Their arms went down. When you put that necklace on, it gave them a positive charge. They sniffed the glue again, and the arm was as hard as steel. It wouldn't go down. So the positive charge that you were giving them really worked.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it?
Fred, it was amazing.
Yeah, people often wonder why this technology is a bit pricey, but when they realize how much effort and how much gold and all the precious metals and the geometry and the special NASA engineers I had to hire to design the programs, because there's no program to run a CNC machine available at the time, which a CNC machine is something that can actually make a mold, they don't realize you spend $1 million before you bring a product out.
Right. Right.
This Andromedan stuff doesn't come cheap.
Yes.
Do you regret spending that kind of money, or you think
absolutely
you want
not
a refund, or
best thing
or what
I ever did.
Here?
Best thing I ever did, Fred. My wife and I are enjoying these necklaces, and it's just been phenomenal for us. The necklace itself, I bought a silver necklace, was the first necklace I bought.
Right.
And it had a sapphire stone in it.
That would have been a receptor, right?
Yes, and the receptor. And the sapphire stone was very good for my heart. And we were in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, and I saw a lot of black coming out of my back.
Yeah.
And I called you immediately. We had come back off a hike.
Yeah.
And I said, Fred, I see a lot of black coming out of my back. And
you
said,
what do you think that was anyway?
Yeah, and you said that was the x-rays that were starting to come out of my back.
Right, the x-ray, because the x-ray energy kills your body cells. It kills your consciousness. And until you rejuvenate those cells, consciousness is absorbed into nothing. You could have had cancer if you hadn't got rid of that energy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I noticed other things clearing, too. I noticed my brain starting to clear from metals. I was noticing my blood clearing. I was noticing my brain clearing, heart valves. I was noticing, I don't know if I had mentioned the blood or not, but I had seen all that starting to clear in my body. I can see very clear, Fred.
Yeah.
In the body. And so that was one of the pluses with the necklace. I graduated from that after, it was about 4 years, Fred.
Right.
I got an 18-karat gold necklace with my wife's anniversary diamond. She doesn't wear diamonds, so it was she gave it to me to wear. And it was awesome, Fred. It was the most awesome piece of jewelry I've ever worn. And not only that, it was beautiful. So
right.
People would come up to me and say, what is that? It's got to be some kind of energy tool. And I said, yeah, it really is. And I would explain to them. And a lot of the people, I believe, at least two of them I know, had ordered projectors from you and the necklaces and the nuclear receptor.
Right.
So
that's sort of how it all started then.
That's all how it all started. And with all the work that I have done energetically with the necklace, I had just ordered a pave from you.
Right.
And that was extremely expensive. But the pave, Fred, I can't tell you. I haven't talked to you since I got the pave.
Yeah, that's right. Just so you understand what it is, the nuclear receptor looks like a satellite dish. And out on the end where the LNB element would be that senses the microwave, we put a gemstone that filters the proper energy for the hydrogen atom in your body, because your body is made up of hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon. And the hydrogen atom is an atom of consciousness. And so everybody suffers. They can't get their brain to work, go where they want. Their attitudes don't work. Their mood swings are too great. But we can fix that. And how we fix it is allow you to fix it by adjusting your own energy. So what he did is he got, what was the stone that you had out there on the end of your bridge?
You're talking about my gold one with the pave on it?
Yeah.
It has a diamond, my wife's diamond.
What stone did you have?
And I think there's in the pave. What is there, about 30 or 40 diamonds in the pave?
Yeah, but before you had that, what was the stone that you had out there?
I had my wife's diamond in the 18-karat gold receptor.
Okay, so you had a straight bridge.
Yes.
And what we found is by, you know, it takes four little prongs go out to support this gemstone out on the edge of the satellite dish, which you're wearing around your neck. And,
right.
We found that if we replace those prongs with a diamond studded prong, actually four of them, it amplifies the energy of the bridge and brings the power of the receptor up quite a bit, as you found out.
Yes,
I know you were complaining at that point, you were not even wanting to spend, you know, several thousands of dollars just for a bridge, but when I explained to you that, you know, normally that product costs $18,000 or $20,000 with that
right.
bridge, and you finally went for it, and you feel that was a good move.
Well, I'll give you an idea, Fred. I'm going to blow some people's minds here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was in synagogue today,
yeah.
And my rabbi had the Torah on the table.
He had what?
And
now?
He had a pointer.
Yeah.
And I noticed through him, with the pointer, that every time he moved to a letter, Fred, that letter lit up pure white light.
Wow.
Everything that he read was pure white light. Every letter lit up. Every letter, every single syllable letter lit up, Fred, as he went by. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I believe what I'm seeing, but, you know, at that time, it was just absolutely amazing. I mean, the paper turned white, the letter turned white, everything was pure white. It was just like a fountain pen, just a pure white light. So that was an amazing thing. And last week I went to a different synagogue. I think I haven't told you this one either, so I'll let you know. There were probably about 12 Torahs. And when they opened up the ark, there was a light that was about 12 feet around. And it was multidimensional, Fred. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. And it looked like a large diamond, Fred. It inverted itself into the Torahs, going either ahead in time or backwards in time or no time. I have no idea. All I know is it was a tremendous amount of light. I saw a figure come out and come over a third of the congregation.
Can we tell you something that's happening right now?
Yes.
You were talking about that, and those of the people out there that have the camera on, you know, that you can click on the website.
Yes.
I'm looking at a monitor image of the nuclear receptor with the Pave Bridge.
Right.
And as we speak, I'm in a dark room.
Yes.
With no light.
Yes.
And it is emanating pure white light off the center and the bridge.
Wow.
Right now, as we speak, so any of you listeners out there that tune in to DBS Radio and click on the camera, you'll actually see for yourself what he's talking about. It's actually happening right now.
So I think the necklace, Fred, is a mind blower. It's something, Fred, I am so glad that I listened to you. You're on top of being a good friend, you know your stuff backwards and forwards.
Well, I'm learning it backwards and forwards.
I think we all are.
I don't know much about it, but it does. I know a little bit, you know.
Well, before I got the Pave, let's go back a little bit. When we put up the projectors in the room, I have four of them in my room, and they have the, it's not a diamond. I can't, a zircon, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I had four, two
the big
zircons, or eight
zircon
in the room.
The natural stone, because to put a 3-carat diamond in times
two, yeah, that
would be a little pricey.
Right. So what happened was the first day that I put them up, the Andromedans were in the room for a few hours, and I was working on my clients, and they were very friendly towards me.
Right.
The second day, they came into the room. There was one that was about 9 feet tall. He put out his hand. They took me to their galaxy, their universe, and then to their planet.
How'd they do that?
Right through the hand, Fred.
Yeah.
I went right through the hand. How I got there, I don't know. All I know is they put out their hand. I went through it, and that's how I got there. And then there was...
You feel like it was astral or what?
Oh, there was no question about it, Fred.
Yeah, it was not your physical body was here still, or did it go too?
I saw myself standing there, Fred. I can't tell you if it was physical or not. I was standing there and I was looking at this committee. It looked like a committee of 12 people.
Yeah.
And we talked for a few minutes, and the next thing I know, they put me in this a crystal type of apparatus, and I was put in water. And I was breathing, and I was in there for I don't know how many minutes. I came out, and my chakras were twice as big. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Right.
We had talked about that before. And ever since then, things have been happening at an amazing rate.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that the chakra is an etheric counterpart to the physical body, and it's very real.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you can look at it on Corellian photography, and when people, for example, have their thyroid gland, even though the gland is physically not there, you can actually see the aura of the gland where it was, because the chakra, you can't remove it with a knife, surgery. And so what happens is it somewhat functions. If that didn't function, if the thyroid gland didn't function on an etheric level, after some stupid medical person moved it out of the body because they didn't understand, because it was over or underactive, hypo or hyper, and they went ahead and, you know, when in doubt, cut it out like a lot of surgeons do, unfortunately. The bottom line is the etheric part still has to function, and it sends its energy up to the pituitary and down into the adrenal glands in the body, even though it's physically not there anymore. And so what people end up doing is taking thyroxine in tablets as a pill form for the rest of their lives, and they're still getting a benefit of what it was, but if they would have fix the thyroid by balancing it with some device such as the nuclear receptor, in this case would have an emerald, it never would have had to be removed in the first place, and I think we've pretty much proven that. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's very important for people to know that through meditation, you can actually bathe in your chakras, take one at a time and actually go in and see the chakra. I've gone through my heart chakra and gone out through the universe the other way.
Right.
So there's a lot to be done with chakras, and they're very beautiful, and you're invited in there. They are yours, and they're really beautiful to see, and you can learn so much. There's so much wisdom in chakras. But I don't want to get off a tangent here.
Yeah, no, and one thing, though. Now, how many patients do you see a month over there at your place?
Probably about 140, Fred.
Yeah, and what kinds of people and what walks of life are coming?
Well, Fred, I just had some people come up from Atlanta from a chiropractor, and the mother is from here. The daughter brought her mother in. I told you about the chiropractor I had, had made contact with. And the daughter had brought her mother in who has Alzheimer.
Right.
She was, the daughter said that her mother was extremely hard and difficult to deal with. And through loving and kindness, I've learned to, just allow people to be. And when they come into my room, they're absolutely calm. I mean, she calmed right down. The daughter tried to put her on the table. The mother wouldn't budge.
Now, were these people trained in Andromedan science or projection?
No. They had no idea of Andromedan science.
Huh?
They had no idea.
So they just walk into your system, which
they
is probably a $10,000 system of Andromedan devices, and
they
suddenly have an experience with no
right.
explanation.
They trusted the chiropractor who told them about me, because I told you about the chiropractor and his aunt whose neck was, she was hunchback. Do you remember that one? And I had worked on her, and the hunchback went away, and the neck was okay. But anyhow, this woman had Alzheimer's. She couldn't speak that much. She came around my side of the table, and I helped her up on the table with ease. It was no problem, no nothing. She knew what I was going to do. It was like we just had this connection, this wonderful connection. She laid down on the table. I did cranial sacral work on her, and the room was filled with Andromedans. I mean filled, Fred. If there were 30, there were at least 30 Andromedans in the room.
Why do you think there's so many of them, and why do you think they end up, in the room? Why do you think they're there?
Fred, I let everything go. I don't hold on to anything, and I feel as though they can come in and trust. There's a trust, a bond between myself and the Andromedans.
Right.
And I make no judgments. I don't try to comprehend. I just allow everything to be. And I don't interfere with them. They do whatever they need to do. And the mother lied down, and she went to sleep instantly. And the amazing thing was the daughter says she can't sleep. I presume Alzheimer's people just have a problem sleeping. She was out for about 45 minutes. I mean, gone.
Yeah, now, can I ask you a hypothetical question?
Yeah, sure.
I've often mentioned that the man had totally screwed this world up pretty bad, as we know. And at some point in time, the Pleiadian group that I work with, who had educated me, I guess, to become aware of an Andromedan presence in the future, which is now, they mentioned about divine intervention. So if divine intervention, now this is only theoretical, if divine intervention were to occur, would it make more sense for vast quantities of spaceships to land, to make themselves present and tell the world to throw down their arms, or would it make more sense for the family unit of energy, which is the most powerful unit of energy and most concentrated and most, should be respected unit of energy, would it make more sense for them to, maybe begin their divine intervention through, through clients like you have, which involve children, mothers, grandmothers? Would that be a smart? Where would you start if you were an Andromeda?
If I was an
Andromeda, would you just make
it
all out?
I'd start with people like you and I.
Yeah.
And I would work our way out, because that's the way I think they want to do it, because it's all divine intervention.
Yeah, that's a good statement. I'm just. A lot of people don't understand how this works. They, because of all the UFO stuff that goes on, they think that, they're going to land in Washington in front of, on Pennsylvania Avenue on the White House lawn, But I don't really think that would be anything more striking than Hitler showing up with a bunch of cannons in World War II. I think that's taking things over by force and shock and awe, as we call our you know, military strategies when we make an all-out attack. I don't think that really worked in longevity. I think the peaceful aspect is the way it goes. And strangely enough, I know that in the Second Coming, it's mentioned as a thief in the night. So to me, the Second Coming energy is an energy, and if it comes like this as a thief in the night, it to me makes more sense. And I just wanted to put that out there and see if you agreed with it. It's not according to Hoyle. It's just how I see it. You know?
I'll tell you how I believe and what I can see, and see if this adds up with you.
Yeah.
I've got clients that I've told them I've seen their aura, their first level aura.
Yeah.
That usually is like a couple inches off the body, go to about 12 feet out.
Okay, so the first level aura is basically indication of body functions and electrical side effects.
Right, and I've increased... Now,
in other words, the health issues.
Right, yeah. And I've increased that by 12 feet out of the body.
From what? What was it originally?
It was very... It was like maybe an inch or two in out of the body.
So in other words, those people are what I consider frozen, like most of society.
Yes.
Okay. See, most people, if they only have an inch of aura, that means their electrical functions. It's like you have a 100-watt light bulb in your house and an air conditioner and a refrigerator, and you only got about a 20-watt generator, and you turn it on, and the refrigerator never gets cold, the light bulb never lights up, and pretty soon the wires get hot because nothing of current is not conducting properly.
Yeah. What I need to say is that most
that's
people
the way most
have
people
aura.
Are. They're short-circuiting.
Yeah, most people have auras that are out, but they're not, you know, they're dead, Fred. They're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
What I've been able to do is take the first level aura and expand it to about 12 feet, and I've seen it go up to as much as 18 feet.
Yeah, now, in the last year, how many people overall do you think you've affected? Let's just do some numbers here. In the last 12 months, back in August, 2 years or a year ago.
I would say 140 times 12, 130. Let's say 125 out of 12 months. 125 people out of 12 months.
Okay. And you, these are repeat customers, you get new ones, or how does that work?
New ones, repeat ones, friends, children, whatever.
And you get, are you start? Do you need more business, or are you pretty busy?
I could always use more business, Fred. You know, I'm very busy. I'm booked into November right now.
Okay.
But, you know, you can always use new business because people are leaving and going to, you know, they're leaving, going back home from school or whatever the case may be.
Do you ever have people, you know, that are there and then they go away for a couple of years and then they suddenly realize that their lives are falling apart and they have to come back for more work?
Fred, I don't have that.
So you actually fix them when it went really good and they don't have to come back?
I've got my first clients, Fred.
Okay.
I still have my first client from 12 years ago.
Okay, so people don't leave once they come to you.
These people are very strong.
How are their lives affected? Their physical incomes, their physical health, their ability to reproduce? Do they get sick as much as they used to?
No, the big thing is that they're not getting that sick, Fred.
Huh?
They're not getting that sick. As a matter of fact, they're getting a lot better.
Okay.
And it takes time, you know.
It takes time to screw yourself up. It takes time to fix yourself.
You bet. And one of the biggest things I tell them, a lot of people have a lot of control issues. And the biggest thing I can tell them, and I try to explain to them, by giving up control, you gain control.
Right.
And it's really, really important that people know that. By giving up the self-control, you know, this is mine, I got to keep it. Nothing is ours. Everything is universal.
Right.
And if we open up to the universe, we can have anything we want.
So we control our own destiny to a degree.
Excuse me?
And you're Jewish, so this is a big statement for you to admit this. We control our own destiny.
Of course.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course.
Now, is that a Jewish belief, or is that your personal belief?
That's my own personal belief.
Hmm?
I believe that God controls our destiny, but I think we can make our destiny.
Okay, yeah. Well, if God supplies the matter, the energy,
yes,
the substance, then we get to be the molders, the builders.
Right. Whichever direction he wants me to go in, that's what I'm doing. So,
yeah. And how do you know where to go?
Right.
How would you say, what are you going to do tomorrow, you know?
Well, we're going to Toronto tomorrow. We're
going
to enjoy
ourselves for
a couple of days. But I think it's very important that people realize that we need to give up control.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's, you know, we watch television, we watch all this junk, we watch everything else, and, you know, it's just junk. It's all junk. It's, you know, we don't use our minds, we don't use our bodies, we don't listen to the voice of silence. You know, it's just, it's things that really, really matter, and we're not doing that. And as a society, it's pretty sick.
Now, when your clients come to you and you work with them, do they start thinking on their own and going out on their
own?
Yes,
they feel a lot better, Fred. They become more centered. They're more grounded. They're in touch with their primal selves. They are much, much stronger. Much stronger, Fred. And the thing that I'm bringing up about the aura is that when you start working with the aura and you can change the aura, you can walk in, and I tell every one of my clients,
right,
you can walk into somebody else's life and change it instantly with your aura.
That's true. I agree with that.
And so that's.
But when you tell people that, what do they think? Do they believe right away, or does it take a little convincing?
Not really, Fred. I've opened them up. I mean, I've opened up their chakra, and I've gotten in touch with their intelligence. And I've gotten in touch with their wisdom, and they actually listen to me. They understand. I put out some good people, Fred.
Oh, I know you do.
You know, and this woman, the one with the Alzheimer, she woke up after a deep sleep, and she didn't say very much, but she was hungry for lunch. The daughter says, "Are you hungry?" She says, "Yes, let's go. I'm starved." And she hasn't said that much in a long time, and her eyes are very, very clear.
That makes a big difference.
Yes, it does.
Now, Alzheimer's, I know for a fact, is a disease of aluminum poisoning, toxic poisoning, heavy metal poisoning. Back when I was a kid, luckily I didn't eat very much, but a lot of people cooked on aluminum pans and things that went into your bloodstream. And aluminum is an amphoteric metal, so when it finally migrates up into the brain through the lungs and through the mouth and through the digestive tract,
mm-hmm.
It does cause a loss or depolarization of the electrical fields of the brain, which we call in this world Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
Because the memory that's formed in there is formed in the iron atom by thought impressions. Or you know, for example, if I were you were a small child and I would hold up a chair, and you'd say, the child would say, "What's that?" And I would hold that chair and I'd say, "That's a chair."
Mm-hmm.
The child would hear me say it. I'd say, "Touch the chair." They would touch the chair, so they would hear, feel, and see, and that would cause an electromagnetic impulse, a cognizant impulse in the brain, which would fire a synapse, and that would register in that time in short-term memory, and it would actually cause red blood cells to zap. It's like zapping a hole into some fat, which would be gray matter, and that zapping would be like forming a snowflake, but the body would recognize that snowflake, that zap, whenever mental energy was directed towards it as being an actual chair. And
yeah.
Then when you would, you know, repeatedly show this child it's a chair, it would actually almost produce scar tissue in the gray matter of the brain, which would make a permanent indentation there for permanent recognition. That would reach long-term memory.
Yeah.
And what happens with Alzheimer's is it will fill that deposit up with aluminum after a while,
right,
or some other metal, and so no longer is that cavity there for the electrical field. It's like a resonant chamber.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be available anymore for that person to access. It's like all these scars which are necessary in the gray matter start, you know, disappearing. They're filling themselves over, so it's making your brain a virginal source of compliance to research, you know, to reach into, you know, on a mental level. So that's pretty much what Alzheimer's is. So you're able to re-excavate memory with what you're doing. Actually,
yeah,
pull these heavy metals out, re-establish the geometry of that snowflake, of that idea that could be, you know, not just a chair, but a whole series of memories of, you know, your mother, your father, your kids, and blah, blah, blah. Does that make
right.
sense?
It's really interesting, Fred. It's
yeah.
I love the work. I just
yeah.
really, really love the work, and I don't know why I'm given all this. I know it's a gift. And
you're really gifted. That's very true.
I try to do the best with it that I possibly can.
Now, with the Alzheimer's disease, what kind of progress can you make?
Well,
this is a biggie.
The Alzheimer's disease, from what I'm seeing, Fred, is that people are able to be clearer.
So in other words, they get their memory back.
This woman was clearer, Fred.
Well, when you say clear, does that mean a reinstitution of the memory?
She sounded much clearer. Her eyes were clearer. Her skin looked better.
Okay.
She was more alive.
So in other words, you were able to begin. I would guess then in the process of Alzheimer's, just choosing this particular condition as a topic. You know, it could be any topic. So now she can go back and delve out old issues. So she's getting herself a new platform, is what you feel.
I think so, yes.
Okay, I got that.
I think so, Fred. I think that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
I believe that...
trying to clarify it for our audience. We got a huge audience out there tonight, millions
okay.
of people.
I believe
so
that
they
there's
need to
nothing
be clarified
we can't...
clarified here, you know?
Yeah. Fred, I don't think there's anything that we can't do.
Oh, I understand that.
You know.
But it's very important for the sake of humanity and our listening audience to go gradually, because to them this is some far out stuff.
Okay, yeah.
We do this every day.
I keep
I've been doing it half my life since I worked at NASA, since before that. And you've been doing it since you broke your last hot rod on the racetrack and couldn't afford to race anymore. So that people understand, you need to understand that we have normal backgrounds and we gradually,
yes.
We can't be determined to be insane, because we realize that. So to me, insanity is when you try to do something over and over again with a different result.
Right.
We do
right,
the same
right.
thing over and over again, but we get different results. So therefore, we're not in the insane. We're in the exploratory category, I would say.
That's a very good word.
Yeah.
That's a very good word. And I think
yeah.
it's
so
all...
It's all so don't, we don't take this as oil as absolute something to go to Guinness World Records. We take what we're talking about tonight as something that you're doing, that I'm doing, and a lot of other people out there are doing, and we're
yeah.
getting results that make people feel better, make them smarter, families can communicate again, health is restored, vitality comes back, those
Absolutely.
Kinds of things.
Absolutely, Fred.
I just wanted to clarify that for those people out
That's
there
great.
That kind of wonder
you
where
know,
we're
it's,
going. Okay,
we
now
have,
go into outer space with all this.
Yes, we have to.
Now I can cut loose.
We have to crawl before we walk.
Exactly.
And I believe there's a lot of people out there that are helping a lot of people. And I believe that loving kindness is everything, Fred. And if the more of us that are into the loving kindness, the more that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the more that your projectors get out there, the more that's going to happen. I've seen a great difference in my clients with the projectors in the room and without the projectors in the room, because I was working for years without them. And things are happening more instantaneously.
Yeah, let me explain something. You know, it just almost sounds like a deal where, you know, we are actually healing people. People have to heal themselves. This is
yeah.
my view now. And you
yeah.
tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that 300 years ago, we didn't have, you know, satellites out there in space that generated ELF pulses financed by the drug companies that
mm-hmm.
would cause people to have serotonin reuptake problems, which then would send them to pharmacies and psychiatrists for, all kinds of different chemicals they would put into their bodies. We didn't have that stuff going on.
Yes.
And so I'll bet a lot of your patients that come to you have had some serious SRI, serotonin reuptake issues, meaning they have depression, bipolar, autism, what we're talking about tonight, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, all these different diseases, a lot of them caused by ELF radiation
yes.
from bad conditions in the world. So therefore, what we have done, at least what Pyridine has done and what the Andromedans have done, is they've given us a technology. And this technology has allowed us to reverse this energy from these horrible satellites and all these other sources of radiation
right.
that come to us from every direction, from within and without. And so therefore, we can actually create an environment like you have and I have and several others have.
Yes.
You know, Dr. Valerie Olmsted has,
right,
a medical
right.
doctor in her clinic, and a lot of other medical doctors are starting to do now, an environment where people can actually be who they are. And
yes.
when they're in this environment that's created by these projectors and different devices we use, what really happens is they start to let this stuff go, it fades out, and they can become who they are. And then you can do some of your hand work and your acupuncture, acupressure work, and you can now go into the body and physically remove, blockages of protein in the neural passageways in the body, and then you can start to, with massage and therapy, it's not just like you're trying to calm somebody down, you're actually removing blockages, am I right
yes.
or wrong?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and so you are, and you're based, you're trained in the meridians, I'm assuming you know all the
yes,
meridians,
yes,
the prime
yes,
meridians
yes,
of the
yes,
body.
Yes.
And so, therefore, using this screen that's placed, or this veil that's placed around you and your patient in the room, and your subject in the room, you're able to apply old 2,000, 3,000-year-old technology on their bodies, healing ways, Ayurvedic medicine, and get a tremendous thundering response. Does that make it a little bit of
clarification? That's very true, Fred, but the other process is also listening to the body.
Right.
The body can actually talk to you and...
Explain that a little bit.
Yes. What happens, Fred, is that when somebody comes in my room, I actually scan their body.
How do you do that?
What I do is I put my hand on the sacral area,
right,
and I put my hand on their neck,
right,
sacral cranium area, and I scan the body for any kind of damages or any kind of, I can find out if they have, if they're stressed out, if they have sicknesses. I can pick up on it very, very quickly, and the voice of silence or God will start talking to me, and I'll start making contact with the body, and the body will actually start talking to me.
Right. Now, let me just stop you there for a second.
Yes.
Not being rude. This ability that you have, do you think it's a very unique ability, or do you think that other people, if they took the path that you took and the training you took, could also do what you do as healers?
I think everybody
on this planet
has that ability, Fred.
Huh?
I think everybody on this planet has that ability.
Okay, thank you. Now go ahead. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that you're not preaching from the pulpit, that you're saying that anybody can do it if they take the time and the years that you have to dedicate. And I know for a fact, being an old drag racer, it's a hard thing to get away from a drag strip and doing what we're talking about now.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead. It's true. It was fun out there. I'll go back. Go on. I'm sorry.
But the containment that I work with, in other words, I'm open, but I'm listening to the voice of silence. I'm listening to how many strokes I need to do. The body is telling me, ouch, this hurts, or I need you to go here. And the voice of silence will say, well, you need to do 3 strokes. Do it this way. Do it that way. The blockage is here. So what I'm looking at also is that as I'm working with them, I can leave my body, and I'm looking 4 feet above the body down. I'm looking at the chakras. I'm watching the oxygen going in. I'm watching the light coming out, the light going in.
So you're almost having a near-death experience yourself to clear your own body, get it out of the way, and going up in your astral body.
So
yeah, that's amazing.
I'm capable of doing that.
Healer,
and we also talked about, I think about 2 visits ago, maybe 3 visits ago, I can actually see the DNA come out of the body and be cleansed and fixed. I don't know how I do that. I can actually see the swirl of it.
Well, let me tell you something. This is called it's micro psi observation, and people want to study this. Annie Besant and Charles Ledbetter, at the turn of the century, from the late 1800s to 1900s, write it down. Annie Besant and Charles Ledbetter led theoretical physics. Stephen Phillips now continues that on in modern science in the big laboratories around the world. This is a documented process called micro-psi observation and viewing that Steve is talking about, and you can go out and study that. Annie Besant and Charles Ledbetter, go to any metaphysical bookstore and get their works. You'll be very surprised. So go ahead, Steve.
And that will go right back into the system, and I can feel the frequency of the system, the whole body change. And I'll ask my client, how does that feel to you, without even saying anything? And they'll say, geez, I can feel a higher vibration. I can feel this. I can feel that. I feel lighter. Once that goes back in, the body starts cleansing itself immediately.
Yeah.
So what happens is usually before my clients leave, they don't have to go through a process of going through a lot of elimination because the elimination is done right on the table.
Right. Now, that's the beauty of it. A lot of people want to go through liver, kidney, all these detoxes, take all these, these things. I take a lot of, herbal cleansers and things, but you can actually cut through the chase and do it instantaneously.
Instantaneously.
Yeah, which is really the next step.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree, because biochemistry is the lowest part of the human body. If you can do it through etheric levels like you're doing, it saves a lot of work on the lower levels and makes things happen a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would like to state to everybody that I am not the only one doing this. All you need to do is open up to the love of yourself inside. Just get in touch with your gut, get in touch with your heart, and you can do the same thing, if not even more.
I agree.
I think it's so important, Fred, that people know that, and not to be afraid of it. Even in the Torah, in the Bible, in the New Testament, it says, be of strong courage. We have to be of strong courage.
That's exactly right.
And you just stick with it. I don't blink, Fred. I don't have time to blink. When I'm working on somebody, I am dead on focus. I don't think about lunch. I don't think about anything but that client that's sitting on the table for an hour.
That's really a beautiful gift that you've developed in yourself.
And I'm listening, Fred. I'm watching the energy under the table, above the table, in the body. I'm watching dimensions change. I'm watching the chakras change. I'm watching the brain, the blood. I'm watching everything changing all at once.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think we can all do it.
Yeah. What's the age range of your clients, just out of curiosity? From what age has the youngest one been to the oldest one?
Fred, my clients are usually, I'm 64, so
yeah.
I think we're both the same age, you and I.
Yeah, but what ages do you work on as patients?
I would say between 40 and 70, 75.
That's your average patient?
Yeah.
Do you ever get any real young people in there?
I do, Fred. I get some kids in like 16 or 17, but I have their parents come in with them because
why would a 16-year-old come to you? What would be the problem with a young 16-year-old person?
Fred, believe it or not, these kids are on stuff from the doctors, and they're so messed up. They can't see right from wrong. I mean, they've been over-medicized. And I had one that came in from a surgeon who had removed orthopedic surgeon who removed the bridges, and he did a great job. The only issue was is that this poor child, she was in so much pain that we were doing cranial sacral work on her, and eventually she did go back and was taken care of, but she's been out of school. She was out of school for a year, and the
what
doctor,
was wrong with her? What were her
do I know?
Her symptoms.
Called his brother actually called me and said, we have a problem here. Can you help us? I said, sure. And within 6 months, she was back in school. Actually, within 3 months, she was
well,
back.
What took her out of school? What were the primary symptoms?
What happened, Fred, is that the braces that they put on, I think, were causing her a little difficulty. And
the teeth go right to the brain.
Excuse me?
The teeth go right to the brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what happened was is that she was having tremendous headaches.
Yeah. Okay.
And
heavy metal poisoning, possibly from the material in the braces themselves.
It probably was, or maybe. Yeah. Who knows, Fred? I don't know. I don't know that much about orthodontic denture, but or orthodontics. But I know that he had taken them off and said, "Steve, please help us with this." And I did cranial sacral work, and she was back in school in 3 months.
That's very beautiful. Now, what I want to do now, because we're down to the last 10 minutes.
Sure.
Okay. Now, in a perfect world, okay, we should probably, my feeling is that we shouldn't be dealing with the issues that we deal with, terrorism, things, other subjects that I cover on my shows, disease, government control, population control, depopulation policies.
Yes.
In a perfect world, I don't think we would have any of that. Like, Pleiadians don't have that, Brahmanas don't have that in their world. And I think that you, personally, you know, even though you work with people from an imperfect world, have created in your own environment a perfect world. That's my feeling. Mine is okay. A master crystal, by the way, I might add, because I know you're going
to... I try to...
Yeah. So now my point is this.
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off.
Sure.
My point is this. When you're in those systems by yourself and you don't have to heal anybody and you're in there with your wife or you're by yourself and you're one of these Andromeda systems and you've got those lasers turned on and there's no more healing going on to anybody, you're actually enjoying it. You're taking a ride in it.
Oh, yeah.
Words, you're at a,
oh, yeah.
You're in an amusement park now, from a healing to amusement park. What kinds of experiences do you have that what I would call the ultimate experiences that people will probably be all over the world that are listening right now like to have? With, and considering, let's just say they're all healed and everything's cool, what can we expect riding around in one of those systems?
Fred, I feel the divine.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow everybody's mind, and I haven't told you this.
Yeah.
I was in the room one day with a client, and the diamonds came on in the projectors, and the whole room went completely clear. I mean, it went invisible. I was invisible. My client was invisible. The room went completely clear. All I could see, it looked like it was heaven on the other side of the walls.
Right.
I haven't got to that point myself alone.
So in other words,
you
actually...
It's really divine in my room. It's
yeah.
I love being in there, Fred. It's just like being in heaven.
So, but what you just told me is the fact that no man is an island. I mean,
right.
Even you can, some people want to have the ultimate experience in solitude. You've had the ultimate experience with actually a patient that
yes.
was vibrating on some frequency
yes.
resonant to what your yes. higher experience was about. Is that true or not?
That's true. And I love the room. I mean, I enjoy my room. It's just, it's a fabulous room, just being in there and resting and relaxing and, you know, I sit on my table and I think and I can clear my brain and, you know, it gets me ready for my next client. But I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. It's a fabulous room. It's so much fun.
Do you ever sit in there all day by yourself? On a
no,
day
I don't have that kind of luxury, Fred.
What?
I'm doing like 6-7 people a day, so I don't really have that.
What about Sunday?
Sunday, I spend time with my wife. I work very hard, so I really want to... Saturday, I go to synagogue. Sunday, I'm with my wife.
Do you ever pop in that room on a weekend between
your wife? Occasionally, I will, Fred. But I sometimes when I get finished at the end of the day, the last thing I want to do is spend any more time in my massage business.
Yeah.
I do spend some time in there alone when I can get alone. I clear my mind, and it really feels great in there. For me, it feels great. I can feel the vibrancy of the projectors. I can actually, it's almost like a hum, Fred.
It's a hum?
And it's fun for me because I've got a vortex in my room that's about 500 feet high.
Yeah.
So I can look at the vortex, lay down on the table and look at the vortex going, you know, just straight up. I had a client tell me he could see the vortex himself as he was passing the building. So, I do have fun. I do have fun in the room. But
so you do get to play around a little bit.
I do get to play around a little bit.
Do you have any experiences that you personally have had that like you can share with the audience out there that might be a little bit different than normal or something really outrageous?
Yes, I could tell you something very outrageous I've seen and been in the Ark of the Covenant.
Now, tell us about that. I mean, George Lucas and Spielberg made movies on that. Harrison Ford was starring in a lot of them. Tell us about the Ark of the Covenant.
What happened was about 10 years ago, I started seeing this small figure. I didn't even know what it was.
Right.
And it was a gold figure, and it was right above my third eye. And it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually, I had a very unique experience with one of the best healers in the country who lives actually here.
Right.
And I said to her, I said, Mary, what do you see at the end of the table, honey? There's something very big down there, and it's gold. What do you see? She says, I see the Ark of the Covenant. And about, this was about 6-7 years ago.
Right.
About a year ago, The ARC was down there, and the ARC cover came off. And it was floated about a foot above the ARC itself, and I was allowed to go in it. And
how big was the ARC?
The ARC was about 3 feet long, and I would say about, from the floor, maybe 3.5-4 feet high. The cherubim were really beautiful on it. But when the ARC cover was taken off, I was allowed to go in. It was a completely different universe in there.
Okay.
And I didn't see the Ten Commandments. It wasn't something that I was looking for. I was just given what I could see in there, and that was quite interesting. I was inside, and I think my first visit was about a couple of days, and then I think at one point it was up to a month.
Pretty good. Sounds like you had some fun.
I could tell you a lot about the ARC itself. And
where do you think it's located physically? Any ideas?
Pardon me?
Where do you think it's physically located?
Fred, I think it's being watched over a family in the... in the Middle East. I don't know where. I think the family, and this is just a guess. I mean,
right, that's all I need.
Just an intuitive guess. I think it's been watched over the Levites for the last 3,500 years.
Yeah.
I don't think that ark is gone. I think that ark is being watched over every day. I just have a feeling that they move it every day and they clean it or whatever they have to do to it. I'm not sure. But I have a feeling that's what they're doing with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know that, you know, a lot of people haven't had the experiences that I've had out there with some of the most powerful families on Earth, and I've seen things that are, you know, they don't even want people to know who they are, let alone what they possess.
Absolutely.
And a lot of these people possess things like that and guard things like that, and they're high level. I wouldn't really call them Masons. I'd call them like brothers in a higher lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably where that is right now. I think the Grail, the Holy Grail, the chalice that Christ drank, the Last Supper's out there too.
Yeah, that part I don't know, but the Ark I think is being watched over very, very carefully. And why I was given that to do, I have no idea. But I have seen a light in there, and I couldn't look at it very long. And it'd be good for another program, but I remember the voice saying, "You've seen me face to face."
Yeah.
And but it's something for another program. Fred, it's so much. It entails so much. It would take almost an hour just to speak of it.
Yeah. Well, we'll do a program on it. You want to do a program on it?
Sometime, yes.
Good.
Sometime, yes.
Well, anyhow, we're running out of time. We're down to the last minute here, so. Tell people if they want to contact you how that's...
Yeah, I have a company called Brighton Massage Therapy. It's in Rochester, New York. Area code 585-442-5410. And I'm more than happy to help them. My wife is more than happy to help, and her name is Donna. And please don't hesitate to contact us. I'm more than happy to help anybody.
Okay, repeat your phone number one more time.
Yes, it's 585-442-5410.
And anybody out there that can't remember it, didn't write it down, you're on a cell phone, a computer somewhere where you don't have access to writing materials, just reach us at Paradyne.com or 1-800-729-2603 and we'll give you Steve's number. All right, well, this is the end of the show. We're at 8 o'clock, top of the hour. Steve, it was great having you here.
Thank you, Fred. It's always a pleasure.
And I'm going to say we'll have a great show next week. Listen to my Friday show now. That's the pre-recorded show, which has a lot of the archived information, and it's moderated live. Last week was a lot about propulsion systems and Pleiades and healing, and it was a good show. It'll be archived soon. That was Friday, I think around 1 o'clock, yesterday. And that's where my pre-recorded show has moved to. It will continue to grow also, and... thank you very much, Steve, for being here.
Fred, it's always kind. Always kind to be with you.
And I look forward to talking to you. We'll have you on. That was part two. We'll get you on for part three soon.
Okay.
And keep in touch, and we'll talk soon. And I'll turn this back over to the man in charge at bbsradio.com, where you heard it first. The best there is. the biggest show, Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Thank you.